With confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, here's the Emmanuel Pulpit and Pastor Mike Stone.
Would you take your Bible and be turning to the book of Joshua, the 17th chapter, and I want to call your attention to the final five verses of Joshua 17. On Sunday evenings, we have recently resumed a verse-by-verse study, walking through the book of Joshua. I'm preaching it under the title, Walking in Victory. We're looking at lessons in triumphant Christian living from the book of Joshua. And tonight, perhaps as much as any other lesson in this series in Joshua, I need you to keep in mind that Canaan is not a picture of heaven. Living in Canaan is not a picture of salvation. It is not a picture of heaven. Living in Canaan is not a picture of how you get into heaven. Canaan is not a picture of salvation, but rather it is a picture of how we live out our salvation. To that extent, I want you to remember that Canaan is a picture of victorious Christian living. Now, previously in this series, we have seen that Christian victory will never be experienced apart from war. Tonight, we're going to notice that Christian victory will never be experienced apart from work. For a few moments this evening, I want us to close out Joshua 17 with a message I have entitled, Canaan is not a welfare state. Joshua 17:14, if you're able and willing, I'll ask you to stand to show reverence to the public reading of the Word of God. Joshua 17:14, then the sons of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, Why have you given me only one lot and one portion for an inheritance? Let me stop here for just a moment. If you've ever been part of a family where the will was read, the estate was being settled, and one descendant began to gripe, you know where we are tonight. Then the sons of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, Why have you given me only one lot and one portion for an inheritance, since I am a numerous people whom the Lord has thus far blessed? Joshua said to them, If you are a numerous people, go up to the forest and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you. The sons of Joseph said, The hill country is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites who live in the valley land have chariots of iron, both those who are in Beth Shean and its towns and those who are in the valley of Jezreel. Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, You are a numerous people and have great power. You shall not have one lot only, but the hill country shall be yours. For though it is a forest, you shall clear it. And to its farthest borders it shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, even though they have chariots of iron, and though they are strong. Canaan is not a welfare state. Father, would you bless the reading of your word? And now would you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak your words through my mouth, think your thoughts through my mind, and declare your word to these, your dear people. In Christ's name and for his glory, I pray. Amen. Be seated, please. Perhaps you've heard the story of the conservative farmer that was at the local diner talking to a well-known liberal about a proposed tax increase. The liberal was describing how everyone should be willing to give more, that it could be divided amongst those who had greater needs. And so the conservative farmer said to the liberal, I want to be sure that I understand what you're saying. You mean to tell me that if you had two farms and I didn't have a farm because I'd been lazy, you mean to tell me that you would willingly give me one of your farms? And the liberal said, I absolutely would. And the conservative said, I'm not following. You mean to tell me that if you had two tractors and I didn't have a tractor because I'd been unwilling to work, you mean to tell me you'd give me one of your two tractors? And the liberal said, I absolutely would. The conservative said, I don't think I'm following you. You mean to tell me that if you had two trucks and I had no truck because I'd been unwilling to work, you'd give me one of your two trucks? He said, I would absolutely give you one of my two trucks. He said, well, no, let me ask one more question. You mean to tell me that if you had two milk cows and I didn't have a milk cow, you'd give me one of your milk cows? And the liberal said, that's not fair. You know I've got two cows. A liberal has been defined as somebody who's generous with somebody else's money. In 2007, it is estimated that more than $1 trillion of our federal budget of roughly $4 trillion is going to be spent on various means-tested welfare, nearly 25%. That does not include Social Security and Medicare. Now, my use of this analogy tonight is not to impugn or embarrass any members of our church that receive what we commonly call welfare. I don't know your situation. You may very well be needy and deserving. So do not take offense from this analogy tonight. But I want to just go on record that spiritually speaking, there is no DFACS office down by the banks of the Jordan. Canaan is not a welfare state. God expects, God commands, God demands that if you're going to walk in victory, you've got to roll up your sleeves and get to work. Now, there are three very simple principles I want to share quickly with you tonight. In order to walk in the victory that God has given to us, there are three differences we must understand. Difference number one is found in verse 14. We have to note the difference in entitlement versus earnings. When I worked at the welfare office, some of you may not know, my first job out of college, I was a caseworker supervisor at the welfare office in Sylvester, Georgia. I'd only been there for a short time when the state office came down to investigate my caseload. I was a fairly new hire, and they were troubled because I had one of the highest closure rates in the entire state. You see, food stamp recipients in particular were supposed to send in various verifications of their income. I mean, if they had a job, they were to send in their pay stubs. If they had received a Pell Grant or someone in the family had gotten a scholarship, they were to stop by the finance office at the school and bring verification that they had actually spent that money on tuition. They were to bring by verification of rent and all of their various bills. Some of these individuals would receive notice 30 days, 60 days, 90 days to simply bring by a piece of paper. And in many cases, we were sending literally thousands of dollars a month into their home. So when the laws and regulations allowed me to close them down and cut them off, I did. And it was amazing how quickly those individuals finally found the time to get on up to the DFACS office. But rather than being apologetic, I got called every name in the book. And some names it's probably illegal to print in the book. On one occasion, I had to call the sheriff's department because a lady wouldn't leave my office. She said she was going home with me. She said I had stolen her money and had stolen her food. Now, I share that little experience to ask you a question. When she said I had stolen her money and her food, do you hear the entitlement mentality in those words? In fact, what we call this portion of our federal budget is often called entitlement spending. But before we get too hard on the derelicts of our day, they may have taken their lessons from Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. Look at their entitlement mentality again in the 14th verse. Why have you given me only one lot and one portion for an inheritance, since I'm a numerous people whom the Lord has thus far blessed? These sons of Joseph are like many of the other sons of Jehovah, perhaps even numbered among the Lord's people tonight. We're not grateful for what we have been given because we're grumbling about what we have not been given. I want more. What you've given me is not enough. My lot in life is not fair. They have more than I do. Why don't I have a house like that? Why don't I have kids like that? By the way, they don't have kids like that either. That's just what they let you see on Facebook. Also called fake book. I'll tell you what the sons of Joseph, in fact, what all the sons of Jacob, indeed all the seed of Abraham deserved. What they deserved was the brutal whip of the Egyptian taskmaster across their back, beating them into submission under the dictatorial command of the Pharaoh to make bricks without straw. But yet they cannot be grateful for what God has given because they're so upset about what they have not been given. Now, one commentator notes that this little episode is perhaps included, he writes, to alert the reader that the promised land, if it is to be possessed, requires the activity of the tribes. In other words, it's going to take work. In the introduction, I was very careful to stress that Canaan and possessing the land of promise is not a picture of salvation. I stress that for this reason. Conversion, salvation, forgiveness, redemption. That's by grace and totally apart from work. But the converted life, the life of a believer, the life of triumph and victory and progress in the things of the Spirit, it is to be marked by and measured by hard work. Now these men come and they say, we don't have enough land. Joshua will soon point out to them, they've been given plenty of land. The problem is it's covered with trees and filled with Canaanites. And they don't understand the distinction between an entitlement and an earning. We'll be getting to the judgment seat of Christ in our Sunday morning study of 1 Corinthians in just a few weeks. This is a good time for me to remind you that people who are saved, but who are not willing to work and progress and move on in their service to Christ, do you know what they will receive at the judgment? Absolutely nothing. Paul will describe them in our Sunday morning text as saved as though by fire. Now I want you to lean in close and listen very carefully. If you are afraid to have aches in your muscles, sweat on your brow, and dirt under your fingernails, you will never walk in victory as a believer. You have to understand the difference between entitlement and earning. Secondly now, you have to understand the difference in allocation versus appropriation. And preacher, what in the world do you mean by that? I mean God's already provided more than we're using. Notice Joshua's first response in verse 15. He doesn't argue with them that they are a strong, numerous people. In fact, he turns it back around on them. Okay, if you are a numerous people, go up to the forest. Clear a place for yourself. There in the land of the Perizzites and of the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you. The sons of Joseph said, the hill country's not enough for us. The Canaanites who live in the valley land have chariots of iron, both those that are in Beth Shean. Notice that word. And its towns and those who are in the valley of Jezreel. Now the reason you need to note that they don't want to live in Beth Shean because it's too much work, if you look back up in verse 11, in Issachar and in Asher, Manasseh had Beth Shean and its towns. I just want to point out to you that the land to which Joshua points them tells them to clear it and to rid it of its Canaanite inhabitants was already in their possession. They're wanting more, but they're not utilizing what God has already given to them. Let me give you a simple illustration every parent in the building can understand. Just this past week, one of my children, Sarah, my now 10-year-old, she came to me, and she loves making jewelry. She particularly loves making Georgia Bulldog and Pierce County Bears jewelry and selling it on Facebook. She came to me and she said, "Daddy, could you go online to that online jewelry supply store and order me some more material to make some bracelets?" And I said, "I'll make a deal with you. If you'll go in the playroom and find that big wad of the bracelet material that I bought you about a year ago, that you don't have a clue where it is, but I know where it is. If you'll go in there and find it and untangle it and start using it, you'll be able to sell it and have enough money to buy you some more." When you start using what I've already given you, I'll think about helping you get a little bit more. Simply put, God had already allocated more than they had appropriated. And Joshua's first response is, "You don't need any more land. You've already got plenty of land. Go clear some of your own land." But before we get too hard on the descendants of Joseph, can we not relate? I submit that most of the requests that I make of God could be filled naturally if I would just turn around and utilize the many resources that God has already given to me. "Lord, I want more wisdom." God says, You've got enough Bibles in your house to break the back of a mule, but you don't read it like you ought to. "God, I need some answers." "Well, I've given you divine access to the throne room of grace, and yet you don't pray like you ought to pray. I've given you a Sunday school class to partner with you as iron sharpens iron, so one man will sharpen another, and you hardly ever miss a reason to miss the class. God, I want to grow in grace and knowledge." And God says, "I've given you a great church, and you lay out every chance you get. Why don't you appropriate some of the things I've already given to you? Oh, mom and dad, you want me to bless your children? You want me to do a work of grace in your kids' life? I've given you my word, but you don't do family devotionals. I've given you Awana workers to partner with you, but you don't bring them because you're too tired on Wednesday nights. Are y'all in this building? I've sent youth workers to help raise your teenagers in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They put on a student camp, but you're busy at football camp and soccer practice. You want me to do something in your finances? I've given you enough money to burn a wet mule, and you let the Canaanites in the land spend it all. You want me to do something for your physical health? I've given you some common sense, and yet you still eat everything that doesn't eat you first. And that's not to mention all those crazy, look what one Coke will do videos that you see on Facebook. I mean, dudes over here cleaning rust off a bumper, and you're using it to chase Doritos, asking me to help you be healthier. Now, I thank God that He's a God of more. He's a God of more than enough. But sometimes the way He sends more is by reminding us that He's already sent the more and we're not using it. Again, I submit that if we're honest, most of what we think we need more of to be victorious in the Christian life is probably already laying around our spiritual house somewhere. You need more time to serve God? Why don't you cancel your Facebook account? You need more money to give to God? Why don't you cut up your credit card and cancel your Netflix and your Dish Network? You need more time to study the Bible? Why don't you put your cell phone down every once in a while? If we're going to walk in victory, we've got to understand the difference between allocation, God's already given it, and appropriation. We've simply got to use it and put it to work. One last thing we've got to look at. There's the difference in entitlement versus earnings, the difference in allocation versus appropriation, and then in verses 17 and 18, there's the difference in rights versus responsibilities. We're talking about Canaan not being a welfare state. This past week, I believe it was on Monday, I put out a notice on Facebook and contacted some folks by text that on Tuesday morning, we were going to have a simple local missions project and just kind of go door to door and yard to yard, helping clean up some yards around town. My wife, who was with the kids up in Macon visiting her mother, didn't really know about it. My son was not able to participate in it. Well, our neighbors across the street don't go to church anywhere, so the team that I was with, we made sure that we went by and cleaned up their yard. I just wanted to be a witness in that regard. And I didn't have their phone number, so I texted my wife and I said, hey, call the neighbors across the street, let them know the men from Emmanuel just came by and cleaned up their yard. Well, my teenage son heard that message and he thought, oh boy, the men from the church came and worked our road. He was surprised when he came home and the effects of Irma were still laying all over the yard. Daddy, I thought the men from the church worked our road. I thought they cleaned up across the street and in the side neighbor's yard. I said, oh yeah, they did. Well, Daddy, why didn't they clean up here? I said, well, a couple of reasons. Number one, it's just generally not good for the pastor to organize a mission team to go around town and end up in my yard. That's just generally not good. The other reason is our focus was on the yards of people that needed some help cleaning up the yard, and I don't need any help cleaning up the yard. Y'all are ahead of me. Now, I know the guys that I were with would have taken just a few minutes and would have gladly stopped and helped clean up that yard. But not only did I not need that bad PR potential, my son needs to learn to work. He needs to have a good work ethic. He needs to learn the difference between rights and responsibilities. Now, you know what the difference in rights and responsibilities mean? That means that right about 5:30 tomorrow, you've got a responsibility to get out in the yard. Now these Josephites, Ephraim, Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, they're not real thrilled about Joshua's response. He says, you've got land, clean it. There are too many trees on it. Now, by implication, Joshua says, wonderful, God's provided the lumber for your houses. Nothing standing between you and a nice home, but your unwillingness to work. But these men begin to protest. They are the sons of the favored son of Jacob. They've got their rights. Never mind that the census contained back in the book of Numbers says they're nowhere near the largest tribe. Other tribes were actually larger and nobody else is grumbling and griping and complaining. It's also worth noting that Manasseh's allotment was second in size only to the allotment given to the tribe of Judah. And Judah's allotment was covered with a lot of wilderness. It could be argued that the only one that's griping is the one that got the largest allotment of usable land. The New International Commentary notes that Joshua shows no sympathy for their whining and responds with strong irony. He suggests that since they are in fact so many and so strong, they should use their strength and their numbers to prepare land for cities and agriculture by clearing their heavily forested areas. But the sons of Joseph continue to want a convenient allotment that is easy to settle. The commentator says, driving out enemies and clearing forests do not fit their plans or their gifts. But again, before we get too hard on these sons of Joseph, are we not also guilty? I think if we were honest, I know this is not shouting territory tonight, but if we were gut level honest, most of us would rather complain about shortages in the work than to do the work to accomplish a solution. Now, I'm thankful to pastor a wonderful congregation of people, but at any given time, any one of us can get out of sorts, starting with the preacher in the pulpit tonight. Are y'all in this building? I mean, we all want to be a part of a church that gives generously, but not everybody wants to give in a way that makes that possible. We all want to be a part of a church that visits regularly, but not everybody wants to make a visit. And fewer still are willing to receive a visit from a fellow member that's not an ordained member of the staff in the average church. We all want to be a part of a church that regularly baptizes, but not everyone witnesses in a way to make that possible. As one commentator notes, Christians want God's blessings but will not sacrifice to achieve them. Look in the 17th verse. Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, "You are a numerous people and have great power. You shall not have one lot only, but the hill country shall be yours. For though it is a forest," he's doubling down on them, "you shall clear it. And to its farthest borders it shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites." They were griping, "We can't have that land. That land's not good enough. Too many trees, too many Canaanites." He says, "Cut down the trees and drive off the Canaanites." That's the answer to your problem. These sons of Joseph, like so many of God's people today, want the blessings of God by virtue of position and not by perseverance. I'll say that again. These sons of Joseph, like so many of God's people today, want the blessings of God by virtue of position. "I'm here, Lord. What more do you want? I'm one of your sons, Lord. I'm one of your daughters, Lord. I'm in the family." We want the blessing by virtue of position and not by perseverance. Unfortunately, these two half-tribes don't believe they're up to the task. And it will take up until the time of Kings David and Solomon for these two tribes to finally possess this land and drive out the Canaanites. In essence, this sad story is of the two sons of Joseph who come and say, "We don't have enough, we need more." And Joshua responds, "You can have more if you're willing to work for it." And they put their lazy hands back in their pockets and essentially say, "Forget I asked." And for that reason, they never achieved the victory God had in store for them. And friend, neither will we. Because there's no food stamp office in the promised land. Canaan is not a welfare state.
You've been listening to the Emmanuel Pulpit, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Mike Stone, Senior Pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. With confidence in the authority and sufficiency of the Word of God, Pastor Mike is committed to walking you verse by verse through books of the Bible. We pray this message has been an encouragement to you as you seek to learn and live the Word of God. Free audio downloads of this message, as well as general contact information, are available through our website at ebchurch.net. Thanks for joining us for today's message from the Emmanuel Pulpit.